Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 23. We will continue with looking at the book of Genesis. Before we go further into the story of Abraham, I want to, as I promised, look at versions of one of the stories from the earlier part of Genesis, the story of Cain and Abel, and just see what can be made of it. How a powerful picture like this, which is something children will remember, believe me, and refer to more than once through the course of the year, how we can present this. So let me read from, I'll start with Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, the King James Bible version. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. 3:24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou cursed art from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt that be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. So there is the story, amazingly terse, amazingly laconic. The only things that really, really go on and on and on and have seemingly excess verbiage in the Hebrew Scriptures are the genealogies and the laws and the prescriptions and the commandments and so on. Those go on into endless agonizing detail. But the stories of what transpires between people, it's quite remarkable. A few words are spoken, and volumes, really, of what a poor writer might have to elaborate on. And many have, of course, taken these stories and made them far more complex. They're actually remarkably simple. And very important, my dear colleagues, they are not psychological. One could say something is going on in the psyche of a figure like Cain. But basically, we are told what he is feeling. He puts it all into words, and they're very few words. People have not yet become self-conscious, nor have they become probing into their own motivations and how they see the world. So keep that in mind when you're telling the stories this year. Keep a degree of simplicity alive in what you bring. And now we're going to hear how Elsie Eggermeyer tells this story. So this is a book of Bible stories designed for Sunday school usage. I think it's fairly contemporary, certainly sometime after 1950 or thereabouts. We are sure that Adam and Eve must have felt lonely with no friends in all the big wide world. But God planned that there should be more people. And so one day he gave Adam and Eve a little child, a baby boy. This baby they named Cain. How they must have loved him. After a while, God gave them another little boy, and they named him Abel. When Cain and his little brother Abel grew old enough to understand, Adam and Eve told them about the great God and how they themselves had disobeyed him before Cain and Abel were born. They wanted their sons to love this God and to try to please him. But alas, sin, like a tiny seed, was already buried in the hearts of these little boys, causing them to think naughty thoughts, to say unkind words, or do wrong deeds, just as little boys and girls are tempted to do today. Abel wanted to please God, and he was sorry because he had sinned. But Cain allowed the tiny sin seed to grow and grow until his heart became very wicked. By and by, Cain and Abel became men, like Adam, and Cain worked in the fields raising grain and fruits, while Abel took care of a flock of sheep. These brothers built altars, upon which they offered their gifts to God, as their parents did. Cain brought for his offering fruit from the field where he had labored, and Abel brought a fat lamb. But Cain's offering did not please God. When he saw that God was displeased, he became very angry. God talked to him. He warned him of the harm that might come if he should continue to be angry instead of becoming sorry for his sins. But Cain was not willing to listen. He was not sorry for his sins. Abel believed the promise that God had given to his parents, and when he offered his gift, he prayed and asked God to forgive his sins. God was pleased with Abel's offering. One day, while the brothers were together in the field, Cain quarreled with Abel. Now we are sure that nothing good could come of quarrels, because they are so wrong. This quarrel ended dreadfully. Cain grew so angry with Abel that he killed him. What an awful deed! God spoke again to Cain and asked, "Where is Abel your brother?" Cain replied, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Wicked Cain did not know that God had seen all he did. And now for a punishment, God told Cain that he must go farther away out into the wide world. Never again should he know the blessing of his old home, for hereafter he should wander about from place to place like a frightened, hunted animal. He should have a terrible fear in his heart always that someone would kill him as he had killed his brother. Now at last Cain felt sorry, but he was sorry only because he was to be punished for his sin. He thought God was punishing him more than he could bear. Then God placed a mark upon him that all could see, and by that mark they would know that God did not want them to kill Cain. After this, Cain wandered far away into a land called Nod. There he lived for many long years. Adam and Eve lived a long time, and God gave them other children besides Cain and Abel. Then the time came at last when their bodies grew feeble with age and they died, as God had said they should when they ate the forbidden fruit. Okay, rather different rendition of the story. I don't know how many dozen times we're told about sin and wickedness and damnation and whatever. Isn't this interesting? And I tell you, this is how most people who learn about the Hebrew Scriptures at all, this is how they learn it. You know, it's so difficult to read the actual books themselves that people just let others kind of let them know what's going on. And certainly children at the most impressionable age. So this good storyteller, I mean, she's got a gift, maybe not for terseness, but she's okay. But, you know, first of all, she's climbing into Cain's head and his heart and his soul and telling us, you know, what's really going on in there, that he doesn't really care that he sinned, whereas his brother, about whom we learn zero in the actual Hebrew Scriptures, we're learning what a good fellow he was and how he followed his parents' advice that he not sin anymore. When do they get around to telling him that? That certainly isn't in the Old Testament. And so on and so on and so forth. So be careful about this, because you may feel, oh, I've been waiting for Cain and Abel for 2 years. That little jealous boy in the class who's always making life difficult for the Golden Waldorf children, this story's for him. He's going to get it. Or that nasty jealous girl who's always making up terrible stories about the other girls to get them in trouble, she's going to hear this one and she will writhe. No, I'm not saying anybody really thinks like that. That's an exaggeration, of course, unless they're very wicked Waldorf teachers. But I am saying the temptation is there with these stories to carry on like some kind of Bible Belt preacher, you know? And maybe the children misbehaved earlier in the morning, circle didn't go so well, or something like that. And you just have it in you for them, you know, you just can't help it. You really want to make them feel guilty. And I would beg you, leave poor God out of this. He's been drawn into enough human conflict as it is. You know, don't kind of say this is the word of God and then create, like this lady does, some total embroidery fabrication. So be very, very careful about that. If you must err on one side or the other, I ask you right now if you could open up that comic book version and look at the way the story is presented there. Okay? So what we're going to do, I'm actually going to end this lecture right now. I want you, if you haven't already got it open, you can really, as you know, have the lecture going and another window or two open at the same time. Open it up and look at it, and the next lecture will begin with talking about that presentation of the story.